Today is 17 March 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm with Mr. Steve W. Galloway, and I'm outside of Wauchula, Florida. And this is for the Bureau of Florida Folklife Programs. And I'm going to put it by Mr. Galloway. Okay, Mr. Galloway, don't worry. It's just...
That's all right.
Now, we were talking a while ago, Mr. Galloway, about a number of different things, and I think we'll get back. We'll just... You were, of course, born in Georgia.
Yeah.
And you knew a man there. This is how our conversation started, so we'll just start there and we'll go on with it. Mr. Shiver?
Shiver.
Yeah, J.T.?
J.T.
And
J.T. Shiver.
And he was from... was he around Camilla?
Yes.
Georgia as well?
Yes.
He used to live by there.
Yes.
And you were saying that when you were a young man or a teenager, that you used to go by Mr. Shiver's place and stuff, and he showed you a number of things.
He did.
And I'm just going to name a bunch of things and we'll go off into this again, but it was just like ox yokes and ox whips and washboards for the women and the...
Scrub brooms.
Scrub brooms, yeah. Now, you were telling me about the scrub brooms. You were saying, now, how... when you would do the scrub room, I mean, what was it? Was it like, how big was it about?
It was about 16, 18 inches long,
mm-hmm.
8 inches wide. Or if they could get a board wider than that, they would use that. But
yes,
I'd say a 2 by 12.
Mm-hmm.
2 by 12, about 16, 18 inches long.
That's a big
room, yeah. Yeah. And they bore auger hole. Auger hole, about 2 inches. In diameter.
Yes, sir.
And they'd bore it on an angle,
mm-hmm.
through that 2x8, 2x12,
mm-hmm.
to where when the handle, when the person was using the broom,
yes, sir.
It'd fit flat on the floor.
Yeah, the shucks would fit.
Yeah.
On.
And those holes that were bored in that board were stuffed with shredded corn shucks. They'd make a roll big enough and twist it where they could pull it through that hole, and it'd fit tight in that hole where when there's scrubbing with it, they wouldn't come out.
Yes, sir. Now, would they take, when they were putting, before they put the corn shucks through the hole, did they twist the corn shucks together or how?
The ends of them.
The ends?
The small end. So they could stick them in there and pull it, but the end that stayed on the floor,
yes, sir.
Wasn't twisted.
I see. Now, you were saying that you've had the experience of having to scrub floors with them.
Yes.
Now, what would they use to scrub, what would they put on the floors when they were scrubbing it?
We would use potash.
Potash.
Mm-hmm. And sand. Put sand on there to cut, I don't know why, but I imagine that was to cut anything that was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That helped brighten the floor, I reckon.
And these were obviously all wooden floors in your home, your family home at that time, or just homes in the area?
I didn't understand you.
Yes, sir. Well, the floors were wood at that time, is that correct?
Yes.
And were they just, they were untreated, they were not stained or anything
no,
like that?
Just no.
Pure
no.
wood?
That's right. And usually, when they were put down, they were in the rough lumber.
Huh.
But they were tight. And good floors. And they had been used until you didn't know whether they were rough lumber or not. They didn't have that rough. They were pretty smooth.
And what kind of wood was it, do you know?
Pine, yellow pine.
Yellow pine. Mm-hmm. Now, would they, you put the potash and the sand on the floor, you would mix it with water or just scrub away, or how was
You'd
the process?
Have You'd have it mixed with water,
uh-huh.
and you'd pour water on the floor, keep the floor wet while you were scrubbing, and that sand would melt or it'd spread about over the floor, and it'd help clean that floor. And that was to be done about every 10 days, a week or 10 days, we had to scrub that floor.
Now, you also said with Mr. Shiver that you used to make washboards for women?
Yes.
Did did they have the metal at that time in the middle of them, or was it all wood? Or
it's all wood.
All wood. How big about were they?
They were about 12 inches wide and about 14 inches long.
And how would you do the I've only seen the ones where they have like the metal in the middle.
Yes.
Would you have to put the wooden slats in there, or how how did it look?
You take a two by 12, we'll see. And you take...
Yes, you want to draw it?
It won't be very straight.
Now. That's all right, sir.
Now this is a, we'll call that a 2x12.
Yes, sir.
All right. We draw a line right through here.
Yes, sir.
Draw a line right through here.
Uh-huh.
Like that. Then we'd take a wood chisel and we'd cut a V.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Let me see now. It would be like that.
I see.
On those lines,
mm-hmm.
all the way across, that would be about an inch deep.
I see.
And about an inch, maybe an inch and a half across here,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
until you got over that board. And the board would look something like this. And then this would start.
See.
And up here would be for your soap and stuff. Anything, there'd be a little shelf across there.
Uh-huh.
And you could keep your soap up there.
I see. Would it be like a bar and then they would work it up and down with it?
Yeah.
I see, sir.
Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes, sir. I'm a little slow, but eventually by and by I get it. Yeah, my grandfather used to make soap, and they used to make it in long squares.
We did too, potash soap. Cook it out in a wash pot in the yard, and we used fats, hog fats, and oak ashes. And that soap would get hard, they just sit in that pot. So it got hard, and then you could take a knife, butcher knife, and cut it in bars like you want. And that's what we used on these floors, and washing clothes with it.
Mm-hmm. What would they, in other words, what was the mixture like? What was the recipe for one of these things, do you recall?
That soap?
Yes, sir.
Well, it'd be, I don't know what the... I can't tell you what the recipe is.
Yes,
I mean, how much ingredients.
That's all right, but just about. I mean, what was in it?
Well,
that's all.
Well, it was potash, water, potash, and grease. We used to, on the farm,
yes, sir.
We would kill our pork. We had our own meat. We'd take it for a year. We'd kill enough, fatten the pork, and butcher them, and have a year's supply at one time. We'd make sausage and smoke them with hickory wood. Give them a good flavor.
Now you'd also mentioned that Mr. Schreiber had shown you about ox whips and ox.
Yes, yes, he did, and I made a few. And I think if I had the material, I could do it now. But I have not seen. In hardware stores, rawhide, long enough to make an ox whip. In fact, I don't remember seeing any rawhide in the stores lately, sometimes.
Yeah, that's a problem for any kind of whip making.
Yes.
They're not, that is very hard to come by.
That's right.
Well, when we were speaking earlier, you were telling me about the size of the ox whip.
I'd say it was about 6 or 7 feet long, and the staff was about five feet long.
Now, you had mentioned, Mr. Shriver, when you had gone to his house as a boy, that you'd seen a photograph up on his
I did.
Wall. Could you describe that photo again for me, sir?
Yeah, it was about 2 foot square. It was an enlarged photograph.
Yes, sir.
About 2 foot square, and it was very plain. It was showing him with a load of logs on a dray with, I said four, but it might have been six oxen pulling that.
Yes,
and he was out on the side, and he had his whip.
And he was taking what, logs to the mill?
Taking logs to the mill.
In Camellia, Georgia, were there a lot of trees in that area?
Quite a few, yes.
Yeah, so there was a mill up there, and it was just a standard.
Yeah. And my father, when I was quite young, we had quite a few yellow pine trees.
Yes, sir.
And we lived on the river like. My father's place joined Flint River. And I remember he would cut logs and haul it to the river, put them in there and form a raft. You know what a raft is, what
yes, sir.
I mean.
Yes, sir.
And it was tied together in a way that they would float those rafts down to Apalachicola, Florida, down Flint River, and Flint would run into Apalachicola River. And then the rest of the way would be the Apalachicola River. They'd float them down there, and there was a ready market for them. And the market was better there than around where we lived. And it would take 4 or 5 days to float that raft from where we lived to Apalachicola. It'd just be the gravity of the water, you know, the flow of the water, is all that was moving. And a lot of times, you'd get in a place where they couldn't handle those rails and they would get torn up. And it'd take them a long time to get it back together. But when my daddy was on one of those voyages, usually he was gone about a week to market those logs.
So he would just, as he'd tie them all up together, just ride down the river,
yeah,
and then sell the lumber down in Apalachicola.
Yeah. Yeah, and cedar, he'd put enough cedar on that raft. I've heard him say the cedar they'd carry would bring more than the logs. There was a demand for cedar then, I reckon, and still are. We had quite a bit of seat on the place then.
Yeah, well, it sounds as if your family spent a lot of time coming down from Georgia into Florida and back again.
We did. They did. My daddy had a sister that lived up here at Bowling Green and Fort Meade. And she must have got married. She married an Englishman. His name was Will Detweiler. And I think he was from London. And they must have gotten married in the early 90s. And they lived here all the while. And my daddy would come down to see her every once in a while. She would go up there occasionally. And that's why I reckon we got coming to Florida. But I like Florida. I like Georgia too. It was a good place. But I have thought that I might have made a mistake when I left, sold my farm and come here. I don't know whether I did or not. The reason I did, I had too big a farm, and help was hard to get at that time. And my wife and myself were, that's it, meals on wheels, bring us food. But my wife and I were in bad health, and I had too much to do.
Yeah, it was a big farm.
So I said, let's sell out and go to Florida. I thought then that money grew on trees. I was very thin. I had worked until I was very thin. I weighed 137 pounds. And when I got down here, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, and I didn't drink. And when I got down here, thank you, sir. When I got down here, I started smoking after I got 20, or up in the 20s. I thought it was big because other people done it. I thought maybe I should do it. And I started smoking a little. And in 51, I had to go to the hospital. I went to Tampa General Hospital. And I was for
what? That senior citizen doing? I got where I couldn't get close to a stove and they started that.
What was and the reason I went to Tampa General in 51? Sinus trouble. The worst case about that I had ever seen. Hmm. I got to where
sinus.
I could smell my own self and I didn't want to be around anybody. And I went to Tampa General. And my doctor was Dr. Bagley. Mm-hmm. He was a specialist, head specialist. And he put me in the hospital there. I was there 3 or 4 days, and I couldn't smoke because I must have had 10 yards of gauze up my nose. And I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket, and I said to myself, if I can do without 4 days, I can do without the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I haven't smoked a cigarette since 1951. I weighed 130 pounds, 35, and then I got up to 172.
Very good.
But whenever I got sick this time, I'm back down to 110. So I don't know what'll be the outcome. I know I can't stay here forever, but I appreciate the time that the Lord has spared me to be here. He's been good to me.
Yes, sir. Well, you look very good. I mean, you know, in the sense you're very alert. You look, I mean, externally, you know, you look like you're in fine health. I mean, I don't know how you feel, you know, or how you felt before, but just to look at you, you know, and just how you're acting, you look fine.
Well, I can't stand up long. And the doctor diagnosed my case as having Lou Gehrig disease.
Lou Gehrig, yeah, sure. Baseball player.
And another doctor said I had TBs. But the TBs that I had, I couldn't pass it on to no one else. And between the two, I don't know what I've got.
Yeah.
But I've been under the doctor for 15 years. And I gradually get worse. But one doctor told me, said, you won't die with Lou Gehrig disease. you would die with something else, but he didn't tell me what.
Well,
he didn't know what.
He didn't know what that's. Yeah.
They don't know that for him.
That's right.
He may be smart and all that.
But I've enjoyed my life. I've enjoyed it very much.
Sounds like it.
Now, I'm sorry that I can't do what I used to do.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected.
Well, sure.
The older we get, less.
That's right. Yeah, and that's everybody. It's not just one single person. It's not just, it's anybody you want to name.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you said that Mr. Shriver, he lived to be in his 70s or something like that?
Yes, he must have been in his 80s.
Oh, I see. Did he come down to Florida ever? He just stayed
in
Florida?
No, he never did come to Florida, that I know of. He never was in Florida.
When did he?
On the, I'd say, southern part. He was in North Florida.
When did he die, do you recall, about?
About 15 years ago.
About 15 years ago. Oh, one last thing, and then I'll leave you so you can eat. You mentioned that Mr. Shriver showed you how to do an ox yoke, or
yeah,
had done in front of you.
Yeah.
How was that done?
By hand.
By hand. What would they do? They get a how thick is an ox yoke? Honest, I don't know.
It's about 4 to 6 inches thick, both ways. Let me see that draw.
Yeah, draw again. Yeah, okay, no problem.
Have you ever seen an ox yoke?
No, sir, I have not.
I don't know whether I can draw it or not.
That's all right.
I can try it. Now these are curved a little bit too. And right here on each side, there's a ring in it.
Uh-huh.
So the cart can go in these rings.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Hold it up.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And that is made, I say that use maybe a 6x6, a 4x4 maybe, to do this out of. And it's done by hand. It's done with chisels and things. And it was just as smooth as that wood.
Would you use draw knives ever?
Draw knives and chisels. Mm-hmm. Yes, draw knives and chisels. Mm-hmm. And saws.
And it just obviously there must have not been a call for these things after a certain point.
There wasn't.
No,
yeah. No. Other methods had done away with them, like the automobile done away with the mule on the farm.
Yeah.
I mean like the tractors done away with the mule on the farm. And automobiles, they retired the horse and buggy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Galloway.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming and talking to me.
Well, I appreciate everything you've said to me, sir.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave the piece of paper here.
All right.